Well, here we are in our Bible study segment, ladies, and our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, is here. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Thanks, Amy. Well, today we're going to pick back up, and Absalom has just committed the atrocious sin with his father's wives, and we're going to pick back up in 2 Samuel. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 2 Samuel. We'll be in chapter 17, verses 1 through 16. Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight. I will come upon him while he is weary and discouraged and throw him into a panic, and all the people who are with him will flee. I will strike down only the king, and I will bring all the people back to you as a bride comes home to her husband. You seek the life of only one man, and all the people will be at peace." And the advice seemed right in the eyes of Absalom and all the elders of Israel. Then Absalom said, "Call Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear what he has to say." And when Hushai came to Absalom, Absalom said to him, "Thus has Ahithophel spoken. Shall we do as he says? If not, you speak." Then Hushai said to Absalom, "This time the counsel that Ahithophel has given is not good." Hushai said, "You know that your father and his men are mighty men, and that they are enraged like a bear robbed of her cubs in the field. Besides, your father is expert in war. He will not spend the night with the people. Behold, even now he has hidden himself in one of the pits or in some other place. And as soon as some of the people fall at the first attack, whoever hears it will say, 'There has been a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom.' Then even the valiant man, whose heart is like that of the heart of a lion, will utterly melt with fear, for all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man, and that those who are with him are valiant men. But my counsel is that all Israel be gathered to you from Dan to Beersheba, as the sand by the sea from multitude, and that you go to battle in person. So we shall come upon him in some place where he is to be found, and we shall light upon him as the dew falls on the ground, and of him and all the men with him not one will be left. If he withdraws into a city, then all Israel will bring ropes to that city, and we shall drag it into the valley until not even a pebble is to be found there." And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel." For the Lord had ordained to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel, so that the Lord might bring harm upon Absalom. Then Hushai said to Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, "Thus and so did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and so have I counseled. Now, therefore, send quickly and tell David, 'Do not stay tonight at the fords of the wilderness, but by all means pass over, lest the king and all the people who are with him be swallowed up.'" Ahithophel knew what he was talking about. He proposes a plan to act decisively and quickly before David can regroup and prepare for battle. Ahithophel knows that this whole thing came as a shock to David and that David is out in the wilderness with a whole bunch of innocent people. He also knows that with all those people, David isn't traveling fast. He knows that if they were to attack David right now, they'd win, hands down. He even points out that Absalom only wants David gone, not the whole group of people who are with David. Perhaps the rest of the people will hand David over when they see the army coming at them. Or perhaps David will volunteer to go and be sacrificed to Absalom to protect the people who are with him. Either way, Ahithophel gives really good counsel here. Too bad for everyone that Ahithophel isn't in charge. God is. And God has already ordained to confuse the advice of Ahithophel so that Absalom will listen to lousy counsel and be confounded at every turn. Ahithophel's advice to Absalom would have meant minimal loss of life, the people wouldn't hate Absalom because he killed their sons, husbands, and brothers, and it would have been over very quickly. Ahithophel really was right. David is weary and tired, and he doesn't have a plan yet other than hide. And his plan would bring the people of the kingdom into obedience to Absalom quickly without the issue of conflicted loyalties. Absalom and all the elders of Israel agree that this is a good plan, but Absalom wants a second opinion, just to be sure. So he calls for Hushai. Then comes Hushai, and he's got lots and lots of reasons why his advice is better. He kind of protests his points too much, I think, but Absalom doesn't see that. Hushai plays on Absalom's fear of his father. Remember, Absalom is really a sneaky bully. He didn't even kill Amnon himself. He set the situation up so that his servants would do the job for him, but he didn't lift a sword himself. So here, Hushai's advice to wait and play it safe and then swoop down on David after he has a bunch more men, it really appeals to Absalom. After all, if you take away a bully's friends, the bully is usually shown to be a coward. The same is true here. Absalom doesn't want to be accused of being a coward and having his heart melt in fear, and he does know that David and his men are mighty warriors, whereas Absalom is not exactly the active type. And yet, even so, in Hushai's plan, Absalom shall lead the army instead of Ahithophel again, feeding Absalom's vanity as he pictures himself a valiant leader heading into the fray. This plan also includes more bloodshed, which also appeals to Absalom's desire for a fight and a way to vent his anger. He wants to crush his father, but that really wasn't the best choice here for success. Hushai even uses some psychology on the troops and the probability of them fleeing in fear. Hushai's plan is bigger. It will take more time to gather all the men and supplies. It is difficult to implement, but in the end, if it works, it would give Absalom a resounding victory over David, but it also might leave the nation weakened and susceptible to attack from foreign kings. Hushai's advice subtly plays off of Absalom's insecurity and his fear and his egotism, and he carefully uses we to attach himself to the plot, too. Do you see God's hand here? Everyone was happy with Ahithophel's advice, but Absalom wanted to talk to Hushai. Hushai, the known friend of David, is sought for his advice at this moment. This can only be the hand of God, truly. They all liked Ahithophel's advice, and truly, Ahithophel's advice was a sure bet. Yet God is the one in control here, and so Hushai is called for, and Hushai's advice is taken. God answers David's prayer in mighty ways, and he makes Absalom and the elders like Hushai's advice better. Hushai, however, knows that the king could change his mind, so he sends messages to warn David to flee, explaining the counsel that Absalom has received, and he's unsure at this point which way Absalom will actually go. He worries that Absalom will decide to take Ahithophel's advice as the right course, so he takes care to protect David and the people with him. Wow, and you thought that our intrigues and schemes were sophisticated. The thing I love about this passage is that God didn't strike Ahithophel down in order to prevent him from giving Absalom good advice. He simply provided an alternative that he knew Absalom would prefer, even though it wasn't the best choice. I love that David's prayer was answered in such an amazing way. Remember, David prayed that God would confound Ahithophel's advice. He didn't ask God to kill Ahithophel. He asked that God would prevent Ahithophel's advice from being taken. I have to admit, I've prayed prayers like that. There have been times when I've prayed that God would help me to hear only what he wanted me to hear and let everything else simply be forgotten. I've prayed for a friend in a stressful situation that God would protect her ears and help her to only hear the constructive things and be able to disregard or ignore or not even hear the complaining negative stuff that just added to the stress of the situation that she was in. This example from David reminds me that I can pray boldly, knowing that God can and will do this if it is his will. Ultimately, it is God's choice as to what he's going to do in every situation. I don't want anyone to think that I'm hearing voices, because I'm not, except for my children's, but that's different. But there are times when I'm praying that I can feel his spirit so strongly, and I truly do have a peace in the midst of absolutely rotten circumstances, a calm, knowing that even though things are so awful, God does have it in hand, and it is going to turn out the way that he intends for it to. I know that God is in control and that he has everything covered. Whether whatever happens is something that I expected or not, I know without a doubt that God is in control. So, ladies, today I have to ask, how much trust and faith do you have in God? Do you pray boldly with confidence, knowing that he is in control and knowing that he can move mountains? Our prayers reflect the trust we have in God. Ask yourself, what are you praying for? Are you showing God that you trust him to do the hard stuff? When you pray, do you actually give that concern over to him? Or are you praying just to let him know of what's going on and what you intend to do? Often we pray telling God our troubles, but we don't leave those issues with him. We immediately snatch them back, worrying over them, fretting over them. And I have to say, when we do that, we're really telling God that we don't trust him to handle it. David could do absolutely nothing himself to impact Absalom's decision here, but he could pray. And he did, and he left it with God, trusting God to handle it for God's glory and his purposes. What about you today? Are you leaving your fears and worries at Jesus' feet, or are you carrying them in, unloading them, and then loading them all back up before you leave? Who are you really trusting when you do that? Perhaps it's time to come before your Heavenly Father and repent for any lack of trust on your part, and then Give your struggles to him. Ask him to take them and then leave them there.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.